Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go right to the phone callers. A lot of you hanging on. Kristen, first in Grand Prairie, Texas. Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
Hi.
I just have like a question about, what's it, Deuteronomy 22:5 and verse 7 of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
If you could kind of briefly shed some light on that, because, you know, I've had friends that, you know, women who've like thrown their pants out, or, like, you know, throw anything out that's, like, not 100%, you know, a certain fabric or something.
Yeah, well, a couple of things I would say about that. One is there's no necessity to do that. The idea is that women should not cross gender, neither should men cross gender. This has to do with transvestism or cross-dressing. A woman has to retain her identity as a woman and a man as a man, and that is the point that's being underscored in Deuteronomy. By the way, it's also instructive to note that if you look at the way people dressed in biblical times, women and men had very similar clothing, set apart primarily by embroidery. So the notion that this has to do with women not being able to wear pants is simply bogus. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Zach. He's listening on Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Zach.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to say thanks for doing your show every day. It really gives me, you know, inspiration for apologetics. I had a question about evolution. And I mean, first of all, I don't believe in evolution, but why should we believe in an old earth if we hold that evolution is false?
Well, I don't think evolution is helped by the age of the universe. There's not enough time to form a simple protein molecule by random processes. So the supposed age of the earth and the universe doesn't help evolution at all. The real issue you have to look at with respect to the evolutionary paradigm is, does it stand in an age of scientific enlightenment? And the answer is no. It is a fairy tale for adults. The fossil record says no, there are transitions within kinds, but never transitions from one kind to another kind. There's no evidence whatsoever that nothing can create everything to begin with, so the whole philosophical naturalist paradigm breaks down. There's no chance whatsoever that chance can account for a designed universe, the designed universe in which we find ourselves, and the basic laws of science militate against the evolutionary paradigm. So the age of the earth does not help the evolutionist. All the facts speak against the paradigm. And that's why, again, in an age of scientific enlightenment, as Christians, we need to be equipped to demonstrate that evolution is indeed a farce. As far as the question of age, however, is concerned, we want to make sure that we never commit scriptural heresy. By the same token, we also want to be certain we do not commit scientific heresy, which is to say, for someone in the Christian community today to say that the earth is fixed and everything revolves around the earth would simply be false. And to communicate falsehoods as a Christian is not commensurate with a Christian worldview. So if we have the ability to discover things about our universe, we should rightly communicate what we've discovered. Now, we are, after all, positioned perfectly for discovery. God has placed us in a flattened arm of a flattened spiral galaxy. We can discover things about the universe in which we are, and as a result of that, we can know that geocentrism isn't true, that heliocentrism is true. So there are things that we can know which really aren't communicated in the Bible. In fact, there were unfortunate people who misused the Bible as a basis for communicating geocentrism, but that was taking a text out of context or reading an unintended meaning into the text. Unfortunately, we're still doing the same thing today. There are a lot of people that read the Bible and say, whoa, right here in the Bible, you have evidence for Big Bang cosmology. Now, Big Bang cosmology may be true, but the texts that are used from the scripture to point to it don't point to it at all. So we want to make sure that we read the Bible properly, and we want to make sure that we properly interpret the evidence that God has given us, because his eternal power, his divine nature, are clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore, as Paul says in Romans 1, we are without excuse. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to Eric next. Eric is listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Eric.
Hello. First of all, I appreciate your ministry and what you do, and I just started listening to you about a month ago, and I really appreciate all you do. It's very insightful and very informative.
Thank you.
I had a question, or more of a, where can I get some more information? Essentially, what I'm trying to do is talk to some hardcore atheists every now and then, and one of their biggest selling points is, you know, if natural selection exists, then that's the process by which evolution can exist, or the idea that, you know, small changes over time can lead to big evolutional changes over time. And I just wanted to know what you felt about evolution versus natural selection versus artificial selection, and if you could give me some insight on how to argue that as a, you know, the mechanism for creation, as in a, not a, you know, a creation.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. The point that I made earlier is that you simply don't find transitions in the fossil record that can account for the evolutionary process. I mean, there are people that say that there's evidence that humans evolved from chimps or from apes, but the evidence simply isn't there. And the evidence that is pointed to is good for bone peddlers, but there's no business like bone business, except it just doesn't fly in face of the facts. And you look at the fossil transitions that are proposed from, let's say, a hippo to a whale, they're scant fossil evidence, and the molecular evidence actually contradicts the fossil evidence. So then you have to wonder how skin becomes impermeable to water, or how the eye protection mechanism developed, or how the brain changes that are necessary took place, the diving and emerging mechanism, there's the lactation system, where'd the sonar system come from, and so forth. So the point is, there just isn't enough evidence. And as I said earlier, there's something else that's far more fundamentalist in terms of their thinking. They start with this fundamentalism from the left that presupposes that nothing can create everything. And that not only flies in the face of the evidence, but it is something that flies in the face of common sense. So there simply isn't any good evidence. It is something that people are buying into lockstep because it is a paradigm that's sort of pushed on people. Darwin himself saw the problems with his evolutionary paradigm, and now his tree of life has been uprooted by things like the Cambrian explosion. So there's all kinds of evidence against the Darwinian paradigm. I've written about this in a book that's called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, and I try to make it memorable there. Also a book called Fatal Flaws, which also deals with these evidences and demonstrates that the evolutionary paradigm cannot stand in an age of scientific enlightenment. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kelly listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Nice to have you on the broadcast.
My question is, will the people in heaven mourn the people that went to hell, like their family members that didn't make it?
Well, when we are in heaven, when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and nation and people, we will have a true valuation of things. We will see things from God's perspective. We will see things as they really are. And we can be thankful even today, before we are perfect, when we're yet sinners. We can still be grateful for the way God does things. because God is not a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people. He allows people to live a life apart from him if they want to in this life, and he will allow them to do that in the life to come, which is what hell is. It is an eternity separated from the goodness and the grace of God. So God has two kinds of people. C.S. Lewis put it this way. The people that he created who say to God, "Thy will be done," and the people to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." In other words, if you don't want a relationship with me, I will continue to sustain you in existence, but apart from my goodness and grace. Again, that is precisely what hell is, the torment of forever existing outside of God's goodness and grace. Back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Thank you.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Teresa. Teresa's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm calling in reference to the book, The Secret, and how it relates to relationships. And I am currently in a marriage, and I ended up not praying to get out of the marriage, but anyway, I guess, like, thinking on, like, how The Secret shows you how to think something and it comes up. And, I mean, this person that I was thinking about, it really came up. And I had always wanted to be out of my marriage because it was abusive mentally. And I just wanted to know your take on it.
Well, boy, that is a can of worms. I've written about this in several places. So I want you to hang on so I can send you the information as well. One of the things we did is we put together a little flyer called What is the Secret? But it's a very bad way of thinking about things. Rhonda Byrne does not start with a Christian worldview. Unfortunately, it is promoted by people like Oprah, who says the thoughts and feelings that you put out into the world, both good and bad, are exactly what is always coming back to you. So you have the life that you have created. But what is the secret? It's the law of attraction. And the law of attraction is supposedly the law of creation. And therefore, your thoughts create reality. So if you want to transform yourself from fat to thin, you think thin thoughts. And by the way, you can't look at fat people. This is the idea that is being promulgated, but that idea has no basis in reality. And there's a dark side to it as well, because as the contributing authors of The Secret have made plain, victims of suffering and tragedy attract those circumstances to their lives. In fact, I thought one of the most poignant moments on Larry King, while Larry King, who was the king of interviewers, he was interviewing Joe Vitale, I believe it was, a contributing author to The Secret. And he asked Joe Vitale whether Jessica Lunsford, a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally raped and murdered, attracted that horror to herself. And he said, we are attracting everything to ourselves, and there is no exception. So thoughts are the primary cause of everything, whether good or bad, and therefore, whether it's the Holocaust or this rape and murder, it was something attracted to the person by their thoughts. So now the person who is the victim also is the one that is accused of bringing that horror on themselves. And unfortunately, this idea is now morphed into a Christian kind of facsimile where you have Christian leaders taking the same idea but cloaking it in the law of faith. And you have one of America's most popular prosperity preachers saying the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it, it's a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. And unfortunately, communicating in that, something that is utterly false. I've written about this in various places. Of course, we've got the little pamphlet that I alluded to, as well as in one of the chapters of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. I use that as an opening illustration and cash out what The Secret's about, why it's dangerous, why it is not consistent with a biblical worldview. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Harold, listening on Denver, Colorado. Hi, Harold.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Quick question. Could Satan repent?
Well, no. I think Satan has been actualized in his choices just as we will be actualized in our choices in eternity. So once we are in eternity, we will have requisite knowledge be actualized in our choices. And that is the way it is with Satan. Satan has made the choice. He had requisite knowledge. He was in the presence of God. He made the choice that he did not want a relationship with God, and he has been actualized in that choice by his own choice.
Okay. I just didn't know if he could. He knows he's going to lose. He's not an idiot. He knows he's going to lose. He's read Revelation. And why he wouldn't repent is beyond me, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, you know what's beyond us as well is why we sin. Even believers, why do we sin? Why do we violate God's holiness? And yet we do it every single day, and we have to repent and ask God for forgiveness, daily confess our sins. And so that's beyond us as well. How is it that God does a miracle for us? He provides for us in a unique way, and the next day we're wondering, is he going to do it again? We're people of little faith. We're fallible. But Satan has, with premeditation, with forethought, and with requisite knowledge, decided that he wants glory for himself, and he does not want to worship God. And God created Satan, as he created us, as volitional beings. He had the choice, he made the choice, and he has been living faithfully in that choice to be unfaithful to the principles and precepts of the very one who created him. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Israel, listening on KLP, El Paso, Texas. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
Every day that I listen to, I thank God for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really quick question. Our church is moving out of the Word of Faith movement, and a lot of it thanks to you and your ministry. But I keep getting people from that are following these new apostles and prophets, citing that they're supposed to be prophets and apostles today, and they cite Ephesians, I think Ephesians 5, and then they go and reference that with Corinthians when it said some are wonder miracle workers. I call them magic men, but how would you interpret Ephesians 5? What's a better interpretation of that in the Corinthians passage? If you can enlighten me, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Well, if you mean by an apostle, a church planter, or a pastor of pastors, yeah.
That's not what they mean.
No, I know, but you're asking me about the interpretation, and I'm saying that that's the interpretation. And if you mean by a prophet, spirit-filled leaders who can inspire the church in a visionary sense, or someone who is spiritually gifted in forth-telling or proclaiming truth, yeah, there are prophets. But not if you mean, as you pointed out, someone who is getting new revelation from God. No, the foundation of the church has already been built on the apostles. Jesus himself is the cornerstone, and no second generation of apostles and prophets has ever been chosen to succeed those who were chosen by God as the foundation of the church. So, no, this whole notion that there are super apostles around today and that if the old apostles and prophets were there, they'd be trying to get their autograph, as some are now saying, simply flawed. It's wrong.
Bill Hybels needs to read the Bible a little more.
Well, anyone who is saying that there are super apostles and prophets among us today in the biblical sense needs to read the Bible, yes, because the Bible is the foundation, and that foundation is not being relayed. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bobby, listening on Castle Rock, Washington. Hi, Bobby.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I just think it's an honor and privilege to be able to speak to you, so thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you.
I was wondering if you know about Richard Stearns and his book, Hole in the Gospel, and if you have any insights on that, is it a good book, something that we should be reading that's going to help be profitable for Christians to read?
Yeah, we do have information in that regard, and if you hang on, we can get that out to you. Also, in the Christian Research Journal, we have a summary critique of the Hole in Our Gospel of Richard Stearns. His overall charge to care for the poor and put our faith to work, I think, is very commendable. So when he tells us that saving faith should indeed produce good works, I would stand up and applaud. That is what we should be doing. However, he does not allow for moral proximity, which is to say that I first have to take care of my family, people that God places in my path, and I can't have the same care for everyone. It simply isn't practical or realistic. In prayer, I should care, but I can only do so many things. And I would say, from a personal standpoint, if I'm not faithful with the things God has given me in my own home, then I'm not faithful no matter what I do. He also promotes the economic fallacy that the growing gap between the rich and the poor is actually the cause of the world's unresolved problems. And that, again, is a fallacy, and he offers to support the fallacy, misleading statistics. He relies on the premise more government aid is mandated, overlooking the reality that in places like Africa, governmental aid is actually more of a problem than it is a solution. Much more could be said, but here's the deal. We have a great review, as I said, in the Christian Research Journal. If you want to hang on, I can send that out to you. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.